Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of the Beatitudes, we finished Blessed Are the Persecuted. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom starts a study of what he calls the Forgotten Beatitude today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Oh no, we have one more beatitude. I call it the Forgotten Beatitude. It's also in the book of Matthew, but it's in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. So let's go there and look at Matthew chapter 11. I want you to see this, because I think that naturally, after talking about persecution, that this is the beatitude that should follow. And it's in Matthew chapter 11, and the other ones are in Matthew 5. It does follow, does it not? Now in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6, it says, "Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind see their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now, perhaps you have a plaque in your house right now with the Beatitudes on a wall, hanging there on the plaque, you know, on the wall of your home. But if you do, it's likely that this Beatitude is not on there. Blessed are the unoffended. Now, in sending this message back to John the Baptist, Jesus tells them, in short, to report to John exactly what is happening. And tell him, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, I want to make three main points about this last beatitude. First, see the anxiety that exists in this situation. Some think that John the Baptist is anxious about his situation. He's been in jail day after day. He's doing nothing. And he may wonder about the prophecies of the coming Messiah setting up a kingdom. And the Bible's full of men that began to wonder if the Lord had either forgotten them or had not kept his promises. Job thought the Lord would not listen to him any longer. He maintained that God is real, and he knew that he would see him in eternity, but he felt that God had abandoned him at this point in his life. Elijah, he felt that he was the only man that feared God and that no one else cared. He wanted God to take him on home, and as a result, he said, well, this situation's hopeless. You know, he just felt like, what's the use? God might as well just take me on home. The children of Israel in the wilderness, according to Psalm 78, wondered, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? I mean, they were desolate. It seemed like there was no solution for nearly a million people. And so they say, hey, where's the food? Where's the water? Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Well, many times our troubles seem to overwhelm us, and we feel as if we've been abandoned by God and man. Now, you may be in John's prison, Elijah's depression and despair, Or you may be in a wilderness of life, and you cannot see the hand of the Lord making any provision. You may never get out of John's prison situation. You may not see a change in the situation that brought despair and depression. Maybe those after you, and not you, that leave the wilderness of your troubles and trials. But my friend, God can furnish a table in the wilderness. He can give you hope and joy throughout the situation that brings despair and depression. He can sustain and bless you in the person of His Holy Spirit as you dwell in the prison of life's bad situations. Jesus is not only God. He is a personal God in all of life's situations. He is not a good luck piece to keep us from trials in this depraved world. Rather, He is a God that proves His deity by furnishing your table, by giving you hope and joy, and by blessing you for not taking offense in Him. But John actually may not be the anxious one here. It may be his disciples. Some events may be causing his disciples envy and doubt. In John chapter 1, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And verse 35, we see two of his disciples left John and started following Jesus. In John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the disciples that were still with John the Baptist heard the reports. Jesus is baptizing more than John, although Jesus himself didn't do the baptizing, but they thought he did. And you'll notice what it says in John 3, verse 25 and following. He says, "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He must increase, but I must decrease." I wonder in how many ministries today men are looking for glory for their name and for themselves. But can you see the anxiety that these disciples of John the Baptist, they're losing their man and ministry, and they're jealous. They don't ask, is what Jesus doing, is it right scripturally? Now, notice before our text in Matthew 9:14, we read, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" Now, they ask a question that is basically questioning his motives. Now, I get a kick sometimes out of listening to political debates because many of the questions are questioning the candidate's motives. Have you ever had people that gripe or complain? And they ask a question of you in such a way that it almost immediately places you on defense because they ask it in a way that questions your motives. It basically questions your integrity. Well, these men were supposedly better than the Pharisees. But these who are of the man of God, that is, the man that God appointed to go before Christ, they are now anxious, accusatory, and angry. As a result, their leader in prison, the Pharisees, they're siding with him now. They don't see that they are siding with the Pharisees. But again, they're the same Pharisees that John preached against them. What these disciples of John have now adopted, the MO, that is the method of operation, of the religious worldly crowd. The Christ had said, had made the commandments of none effect by their new traditions. Now, with these things going on and coming back to John, I can see John sending them to Jesus in hopes to open their eyes, since they obviously did not accept he must increase and I must decrease. So because they don't accept that, they now are getting to be accusatory. Don't miss that John is a good man. If, however, on that day, John actually is in doubt, and if he is asking for himself if Jesus is the Messiah, he has then just said the worst public thing he ever did about Jesus Christ. But isn't it interesting, if that's the case, that on that day, our text shows us here in verse 11, here of Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." And so, here you are. Jesus, on this day that John, if he really meant this, was saying the worst thing that he ever said, Jesus said the best thing that he ever said about John. Doesn't that seem like that we could learn something from that, couldn't we? Notice Luke chapter 11, verse 1, says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." Well, John had taught his disciples to pray. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Now, your life may be lived in anxiety if you're trying to live it without believing prayer. And you'll miss the blessing of being the unoffended. And when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, instead you will be offended. However, when you live righteously, and you pray believingly, according to the word of God, then blessed is the unoffended. You'll be the unoffended when you learn to relax in the knowledge that our Lord, regardless of the circumstances in which we now find ourselves, our Lord has everything in control. Isn't that great?
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.